Yes. ಇಹು ಅಜ್ಞಾತ ಅನ್ನೌನ್ ಆಹೃತ ಡಿಸ್ಕ್ರೈಬ್ ಸಸ್ಯ ಆಫ್ ಹಿಮ್ ಪುರು ಶಸ್ಯ ಆಫ್ ದ ಲಿವಿಂಗ್ ಎಂಟಿಟಿ ಸಕಾ ಈಟರ್ನಲ್ ಫ್ರೆಂಡ್ ಈಶ್ವರ ಮಾಸ್ಟರ್ ಯತ್ ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ನ Never. Vidyayate is understood.
Kundi
from the living entity. Namavi by name. Ava or Kriya Gunai. By activities or qualities. Translation, the person I've described as unknown is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Master, eternal friend of the living entity. Since the living entities cannot realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead by material names, activities, or qualities, he remains everlastingly unknown to the conditioned soul. Prabhupada, because the Supreme Personality of God is unknown to the conditioned soul, he is sometimes described in Vedic literatures as Nirakara, Avijnata, or Avangmanasa, Gochara. Actually, it is a fact that the Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot be perceived by material senses as far as his form, name, quality, pastimes, or paraphernalia are concerned. However, when one is spiritually advanced, one can understand the name, form, qualities, pastimes, and paraphernalia of the Supreme Lord. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Bhakyamam abhijanati yavayas chasmi tatpataha. One can understand in truth the Supreme Personality of Godhead only when one is engaged in devotional service. Ordinary persons engaged in pious and impious activities cannot understand the form, name, and activities of the Lord. The devotee, however, can know the Personality of God in many respects. He can understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God, that his addresses go over Vrindavan, and his activities are all spiritual. Because the Lord's form and activities cannot be understood by materialistic people, he is described by Shastras as Nirakar, that is, one whose form cannot be ascertained by materialistic persons. This does not mean that the Supreme Personality of Godhead has no form. It means that it is not understood by the karmis or fruit of actors. His form is described in Brahma Samhita as such as Ananda Vigraha, as confirmed in Padma Purana, Atashri Krishna Namadi Nabhapet Grahyam Indriyai Seva Mukhi Jivado Swayam Eva Spurat Kedak. No one can understand Krishna as he is by utilizing the blunt material senses. However, the Lord reveals himself to his devotees, being pleased with them because of the transcendental loving service rendered to him. Since the name, form, qualities, and activities of the Supreme Personality of God in Krishna cannot be understood by the material senses, he is called Adakshaja, meaning beyond sense perception. When the senses are purified by devotional activity, the devotee understands everything about the Lord by the Lord's grace. In this verse, the words Pumbir Nama Viva Kriya Gunai are especially significant because God, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of God, it has many names, activities, and qualities, although none of them are material. Despite the fact that all these names, activities, and pastimes are mentioned in the Shastras and understood by the devotees, the karmis cannot understand them, nor can the gyanis understand them. Although there are thousands of names of Lord Vishnu, the karmis and gyanis intermingle the names of the Supreme God with the names of demigods and human beings. Because they cannot understand the actual name of the Supreme Personality of God, they take for granted that any name can be accepted. They believe that since the Absolute Truth is impersonal, they can call him by any name. Otherwise, they maintain he has no name. This is not a fact. Here it is clearly stated, Nama Virva Kriya Gunai. The Lord has specific names such as Rama, Krishna, Govinda, Narayan, Vishnu, and Adokshada. There are indeed many names, but the conditioned soul cannot understand them. Translation, the person I've described as unknown is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Master, internal friend of the living entity. Since the living entities cannot realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead by material names, activities, or qualities, he remains everlastingly unknown to the conditioned soul. So, at the very beginning of the allegorical story, it was described that not only was the Paranjana living in his body, but there was also the unknown friend who was called Abhijata Saka. So, of course, he's a friend, which means he acts for the benefit of the jiva, and two, he is not known by the jiva. That does not mean he's completely unknown, but by the jiva in his body, generally he is not recognized. So this refers to the Supreme Lord in his Paramatma feature, in his feature as Bhagavan. The person in the material world doesn't know him. This is a little different, of course, from simply not understanding you're not the material body, that you're the Atma. So that's one understanding. I am not the body, I am spiritual. So that's Atma-jnana or realization of Brahman, etc. But the other realization is that one has to realize also that there is another person there. That is this unknown friend. So in other words, spiritual knowledge has these two levels. One is knowledge of Atma, and the other is the level of the Supreme Lord. So both are necessary, but the first is relatively easy to understand compared to the second. That is, it is easier to understand you're not the body, that you're something spiritual, and it is more difficult to understand that there is a Supreme Lord who has form, qualities, and activities. That is more difficult to understand. So, as a compromise to this, the Mayavadis will simply say, yes, there is the Atma beyond the body, and the Atma is supreme, and it has no form and qualities and activities. So they equate the supreme with the Atma, more or less, and they get rid of all qualities, form, and activities. So here we have a distinction made. There is the Supreme Lord and the Jiva, and both are different from the material body, and they're not the same. It's not just Paranjana in the body, but there is another entity there who is different from the Paranjana, different from the Atma, that is Supreme Lord. So there's the distinction here. Why does the Supreme Lord remain unknown in the material world? So, of course, we know the Jiva in the material world, Paranjana, is covered by ignorance and identifies with the material body. So his knowledge that he gains when he's in the material world is gained through material senses. So material senses perceive material objects. They cannot perceive spiritual things. So that is quite reasonable. So therefore, material senses cannot see a spiritual entity. So, with material senses, you cannot see Atma, which is spiritual, nor can you see the spiritual world, nor can you see the Supreme Lord. None of these things are visible to or detectable by material senses. Of course, we should understand also that perceiving with material senses is not the only way in which a jiva can perceive. Because the senses, the material senses, are actually an artificial covering on the jiva. So the jiva can perceive spiritually also, not with material senses, but there has to be some sort of method of doing that. And so now we are conditioned to see materially with these eyes. So we have to be trained to see with spiritual eyes, different eyes. So the process that does that is bhakti. The process of jnana does not train you to have spiritual eyes. It simply negates the material coverings. It does not give you any training to develop spiritual senses, because the goal is simply to perceive existence. No form, no qualities, no activities. So it's not necessary to train your senses to anything, because there's nothing to see. So simply getting rid of the ignorance and the covering of material senses, that's all it is. The process of bhakti, on the other hand, is the process of training the spiritual senses, cultivating spiritual senses. So these manifest in bhava and prema. So in bhava, one is able to perceive the Lord and with the eyes, ears, etc. And in prema, this becomes more developed. So at that point, one sees spiritually. That is, we perceive through the atma, not through the material eye, etc. Of course, in sadhana bhakti, we use the material senses. We engage the material senses in serving the Lord. But the activity of engaging the senses is accompanied by faith. Yeah? One must have an intrinsic faith or an intrinsic speck of bhakti. Yeah? So when we have that favorable attitude towards the Lord, and we engage the senses, material senses, we get a different effect. We don't get a material effect. So the process is that through that favorable attitude towards the Lord without material desires, anyabhilasha, shunya, etc., that is actually a cultivation of the atma. And then we engage the material body and senses, etc., in different processes like deity worship and hearing and chanting, etc. So though we utilize the material senses, we're actually training or cultivating the spiritual senses in this process. We're cultivating the favorable attitude towards the Lord, bhakti increases in the jiva, and simultaneously development of the senses is cultivated. So then, at the stage of bhava, we are qualified to see the Lord with spiritual senses. So, spiritual senses are necessary because it is through those means that we can appreciate the Supreme Lord. We can perceive the Lord, and we can relish a relationship with the Lord. Now that means rasa. So we have to have some perception mechanism. So the mechanism sense is the spiritual sense. So the senses develop through the process of bhakti, but not through the process of jnana or yoga, because they're not interested in receiving the Lord. This allows, this perception of the Lord allows one to have knowledge of the Lord. As in the material world, we perceive objects, and then we know objects by that perception. So through that perception we know form. First, of course, we identify an object as a certain thing with a name, and then must have a form and some qualities and some activities to go with it. So this is how we identify objects in the material world. And we can distinguish one object from another because the form may be different. Even if the form is the same, the qualities may be different or the activities may be different. And so by all these three things we can identify. And then we give a name according to that. Name, form, qualities, and activities are used in the material world to identify objects as particular things. So, the same applies spiritually. That we can understand and know the Supreme Lord in terms of name, form, qualities, and activities. It's a little different, of course, because we are using spiritual senses, and we can even interchange our spiritual senses to some degree. And as well, there's no limit to name, form, qualities, and activities in the spiritual world. One, for instance, by realizing the name of the Lord in the spiritual world, we can also realize form, qualities, and activities. So things are not limited in the spiritual world as they are in the material world. Anyway, in any case, we can
for convenience sake, we can analyze the Lord, perception of the Lord, in terms of name, form, qualities, and activities. So, these we get knowledge of in the spiritual world by spiritual perception through spiritual senses. The question arises in sadhana bhakti, how can we perceive the Lord? So the one says, no, we can't. Unless we got spiritual senses, we can't see the Lord. But then we have certain provisions. For instance, we have the name. Chanting the name of the Lord is non-different from the Lord. So this is the way in which we can perceive the Lord. We have the deity form of the Lord. So even with our material eyes, we can see. So that's a form of the Lord that you can perceive with your material eyes. So there are some concessions made by the Supreme Lord by His mercy. And of course, the hearing process itself gives us knowledge of the Supreme Lord. So from the scriptures we can understand the position of God in relation to the Jiva, the position of the Devatas, the position of the different avatars, the position of Krishna, Swayam Bhagavan, all these things we get knowledge of through scripture. So this knowledge also is spiritual. It is of course philosophical, and it's not a realization, but it is still spiritual. So through scripture we can get a conveyance of spiritual things. In other words, though the Lord is not available to material mind and senses, etc., He is available to scripture. Of course, one can challenge that and say, well, scripture also is simply a bunch of words and they turn into material sound when they go in the ears. So how is it possible that those material sounds can convey spiritual Lord? How is it possible, even if it is scripture? So that is a question actually asked by Parikshit to Sukadeva in the 87th chapter of Bhagavatam. The whole prayers of the personified Vedas as an answer to that question. How is it possible to perceive the Lord through material sound, material conveyance, not only senses, but material sound and even scripture, which we are absorbing with the material ear. Behind that, of course, is the idea that maybe the Lord doesn't have any form, qualities, and activities, so then how can we perceive the Lord at all? Which is, of course, an impersonalist idea. And the other is, even if the Lord does have form, qualities, and activities which are spiritual, there's no way of conveying that to the material, to anybody in the material world. So in other words, scripture is useless because we only got material senses, so whatever we do, material mind, material senses, we cannot perceive the Lord even if we get scripture in us, because it's all coming through material means. So, the answer is, of course, that the Supreme Lord is not impersonal. He has a form, He has qualities, activities, which are spiritual. He's not impersonal. So it is possible to perceive if one has proper senses. But, again, that Supreme Lord has His spiritual shaktis of various sorts. So, the Lord can do anything. And by His powers, He can make Himself manifest even to people in the material world. He can do that. Of course, we have, when the avatar comes, everybody can see the Lord anyway. And that's possible, even if He's got a spiritual form. Pranikasipu can see Nrsimhadeva. Even though it's a spiritual form, He hasn't got spiritual eyes, He can still see Him. This is the spiritual shakti of the Lord. By His will, He can do anything. So the Lord has inconceivable powers like that by which He can do that personally. And the same applies to scripture and the words of scripture and the descriptions in scripture about the Supreme Lord. They also have special shakti. So we say the Veda is non-different from the Supreme Lord. The only problem comes because we have material ears and material minds. So therefore, if we have material mind and words and senses, etc., it's difficult for us to access that spiritual aspect in the scriptures, which is true. And if a materialist delivers the scriptures or speaks the scriptures, again, it becomes material. So yes, scripture is spiritual, but it needs a spiritual person to deliver it. And it needs a somewhat spiritual person to receive it. So it needs a favorable audience at least. So we have scripture, we have a person with spiritual knowledge and spiritual attitude. He delivers the scripture, then it has spiritual potency. And then we have the people who hear it. And if they have some favorability, then they are qualified to get the spiritual impact of that. So that is how the sound of the scripture works. It is not actually material, it actually is spiritual. But it requires a spiritual person to reveal that spiritual nature, and it requires a person with some qualification to receive it properly also. So in this way, it is possible to convey spiritual sound in the material world. So this way, the Lord, though he is avigyata, he is unknown, he becomes known through scripture, through the devotees, etc. So here we have Narada Muni. He is explaining about the Supreme Lord. So he's no longer unknown, because the devotee is revealing the Supreme Lord to the king. So this is not material anymore, this is spiritual knowledge he's getting. And so it is possible to convey spiritual things even in the material world if we have a devotee there, and behind him, of course, scripture.
Whenever the Lord is present personally in the world, although there are some people who are not able to perceive him, why that time the illusionary energy is so strong that it covers others that they cannot perceive the Lord when he is directly present?
Yeah, we see when the Supreme Lord himself comes, some people surrender to the Lord and some people don't. So we can say, well, the Lord is all powerful, why doesn't he do that? So this indicates the power of ignorance. That some jivas have such strong ignorance and such aparad animosity towards the Lord that even the Lord appears, they cannot recognize him. They can see him definitely, but they cannot recognize him. This, of course, doesn't mean they don't get mercy. Yes, they also get mercy. Even in that state, they get mercy from the Supreme Lord. But, of course, it is relatively little compared to those who are favorable. They also get mercy from the Supreme Lord. If the Supreme Lord kills the demon, they get mercy. They get some advancement, etc. And in the case of Krishna, even these demons, they can go to the spiritual world. The Lord will take them to the spiritual world because he will purify them, they get being purified by constant thinking of the Supreme Lord in the form of Krishna because he is so attractive. And then eventually they can go to the spiritual world also. So it's not they don't get any benefit, but it is relatively less than those of who are favorable or who are devotees.
So there's a chance they become
devotee later on because of this. So even though the demons fight with the Supreme Lord, technically they shouldn't get any benefit because they're aparadis. The Lord does give them benefit, even there. That is the nature of the Lord. That's one of the Lord's particular qualities, that he gives benefit to the enemies he kills. He gives them benefit. They can go to Svargaloka or whatever like that, or they get a nice life, or they can get liberation, or they can go to the spiritual world in the case of Krishna. You can take them to the spiritual world.
சாப்பிட வருது சாப்பிட வருது இன்னைக்கா.